This is Healthline, a joint venture of WTIC News Talk 1080 and Yale Cancer Center. Yale Cancer Center is a resource for cancer programs throughout Connecticut, developing new advances in prevention, screening, diagnosis, and treatment. On Healthline, you'll hear from some of the leading doctors in the country. Healthline is not intended to provide medical advice. Yale Cancer Center urges you to consult with a qualified physician in your community for diagnosis and for answers to your medical questions. And now, our co-hosts, oncologists Ken Miller and Ed Chu.
Good morning and welcome to Healthline. My name is Dr. Ken Miller and I'm the director of the survivorship program at the Yale Cancer Center in New Haven. I'm here in the WTIC studios with my colleague and co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, who's the chief adult oncologist at the Yale Cancer Center. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ken. Healthline with the Yale Cancer Center is our way of providing you with most up-to-date information on cancer care every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. here on this station, WTIC News Talk 1080. Our Healthline program features some of the nation's leading oncologists and cancer specialists who are on the forefront of the battle to fight cancer right here in our state of Connecticut.
Each week, Ed and I will be joined by a different expert or experts from the Yale Cancer Center. Together, we will discuss the myths about cancer, the latest treatment available to people with cancer, and advances in clinical research. Our goal is to give you help by sharing information, and we also want to give you hope. We'll answer your questions and give you the latest information. If you would like to submit a question about cancer to Healthline, please email us at healthline@yale.edu. You can also call, and if you would write down the number, it's 1-888-234-4YCC. And we'll try to answer your questions on the air today or at a time of a future broadcast.
Today, our program focuses on novel therapies for lung cancer. And our special guests are Dr. Lynn Wilson, Associate Professor of Therapeutic Radiology, and Dr. Scott Gettinger, Assistant Professor of Medicine in the Section of Medical Oncology, both leading experts in the treatment of lung cancer and members of the Thoracic Oncology Program here at the Yale Cancer Center. Lynn and Scott, thanks so much for being with us today on Healthline.
So let's start out with a quick overview, Scott. What is lung cancer and how common is it?
Well, lung cancer is not the most common cancer, but it is certainly the most common cause of cancer mortality in patients. There are about 170,000 patients who are diagnosed per year with lung cancer. At this point, the majority of them eventually succumb to their cancer, but we're doing much better these days in extending patients' lives with new novel therapies and new novel surgeries as well.
Lynn, what are the risk factors for lung cancer?
Well, the primary risk factors for lung cancer are smoking. Asbestos can contribute risk to certain types of lung cancer, and radon is also a risk factor, which is actually a gaseous byproduct of uranium breakdown and is something that's relatively common in this part of the country.
So just, you know, recently, as you know, Christopher Reeve's wife just passed away from a somewhat unusual form of lung cancer, bronchoalveolar lung cancer. And at least what we hear, she was not a smoker at any time in her life. And there seems to be an increasing number of women who are developing lung cancer and not smokers. Can you perhaps comment on that?
Well, it does seem to be more common. Statistically, probably 10 to 15% of patients with lung cancer are non-smokers, which is a significant percentage. And it's something that certainly we're paying more attention to in screening and so on.
I want to ask you a little bit more about radon. How would someone know if there's radon in their house? Is it something that you would advise the listening audience to look for?
I believe when you buy a house these days, I think it's mandatory to check the radon levels in the house. And we're beginning to learn more and more about the risk factor of radon in lung cancer. And there are certain things that you can do to mitigate the amount of radon in your house with different systems that can be installed for relatively inexpensive amounts.
What are the symptoms that typically are associated with lung cancer?
Most common symptom is cough. Unfortunately, a lot of these patients have underlying lung condition because they're long-term smokers, and they might have a cough at baseline. So what we generally will tell patients is if you notice some change in your cough in the quality and in the frequency, then to seek attention.
Now, in terms of, are there any, other than cough, any other symptoms? I mean, if there's people out there that are sort of wondering or worried about it, what other kind of things might they experience or might their family notice that would cause them to want to go see their doctor?
Well, certainly weight loss is one of the symptoms that patients often present with, and this sometimes is indicative of metastatic disease. You can also have chest pain, shortness of breath, any unusual pains in your bones, any headaches that are out of the ordinary. All these things can represent lung cancer.
If someone goes to their doctor with those kind of complaints or with that worry, what probably would happen in terms of testing and what might they expect?
Well, generally, start with a history, of course, and if we are suspicious, we would start with a chest x-ray, and then we would take it from there.
Lynn, you briefly mentioned screening, and I'm just curious, what are the current screening methods that are available to try to identify patients who would increase risk for developing lung cancer?
Well, Ed, in terms of the documented screening techniques that have been well measured, it's a little bit confusing right now. There have been some recent studies done looking at CAT scanning in large groups of patients, for example, to see if that is particularly advantageous as a generalized recommendation. And we're awaiting those data, which are not mature yet. But in general, the test that we typically start with after the history and physical examination is a chest x-ray.
And how sensitive is chest x-ray?
Well, it is not a wonderful examination. It's not highly sensitive. Something needs to be big enough to be seen on a chest x-ray, and often lung cancers, which might be detected by methods such as a CAT scan, might be seen on a CT, but not on a chest x-ray. So it's a reasonable test, but certainly not a perfect one.
All right, I want to share with you an email that we received from Barbara, who lives in Willimantic. She says, I'm a 52-year-old and I've smoked cigarettes for 10 years when I was younger. And it sounds like she puts here that she actually stopped a few years ago. Is there a way to improve my health and further decrease the risk of developing lung cancer? So I think she's really asking us is, geez, I've done this, I've been a smoker, what can I do about it?
Well, the best thing is she already did by stopping smoking. Right now, it's unclear if different types of dietary supplements and other agents such as antioxidants will help preventing lung cancer. So generally, I would say, live healthy. If you develop symptoms such as a cough or unusual pains, see your doctor, very quickly. And but otherwise, I don't think there's anything that's proven to prevent lung cancer at this point.
Scott, I believe that there have been some studies looking at the potential benefit of retinoids. As a form of secondary chemo prevention. Could you perhaps elaborate a little bit more on that?
The studies so far on retinoids have not been positive, at least not statistically significant, and it cannot be recommended at this time. There have been other studies with beta-carotene, which actually has been shown to maybe worsen survival or worsen the occurrence of lung cancer. So right now, I would not recommend any supplements unless you talk to your doctor first, but there is nothing that's approved yet.
It sounds like, and I think you said, and I think I guess we all want to emphasize, the big thing is to quit smoking. And if you have a family or friends that are smokers, I guess we'd also and probably encourage you to ask them to quit, and kids ask your parents to quit too. Well, I want to ask our listeners, if you have questions, to please email us at healthline@yale.edu, or you can call in your questions as well. We are going to take a short break for a medical minute, and please stay tuned to learn more information about the novel therapies that are available for people with lung cancer with Dr. Lynn Wilson and Dr. Scott Gettinger from the Yale Cancer Center.
This is a Medical Minute, brought to you as a public service by the Yale Cancer Center. Cancer patients become cancer survivors the first day they're diagnosed. There are over 10 million cancer survivors in the U.S., and the numbers keep growing. However, there are long-term side effects of cancer, including heart problems, osteoporosis, fertility issues, impaired growth, and an increased risk of second cancers. Ending cancer treatment can be both exciting and scary. Most people are relieved to be finished with the demands of treatment, but many also feel concerned about whether the cancer will come back and what they can do to prevent a relapse. Cancer survivors require long-term specialized care and support. For more information, log on to www.yalecancercenter.org. That address once again, www.yalecancercenter.org.
Welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm in the WTIC studios with my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and our guests, Dr. Lynn Wilson and Dr. Scott Gettinger, two experts from the Thoracic Oncology Program at the Yale Cancer Center.
So, Scott, let's maybe spend a few minutes discussing, you know, what different treatment options are available to patients who present with lung cancer. So if a patient is given the diagnosis of lung cancer, you know, what are the different treatment options that are available?
Well, that really depends on the stage that they're diagnosed with. And generally, we can consider lung cancer in three broad categories. We have first early stage disease, which is approached with surgery, if possible, followed by additional chemotherapy. These are patients who have limited disease, perhaps some mild lymph node involvement, but no extensive disease. The second group of patients have locally advanced disease with large tumors that are invading close by structures or more extensive lymph node involvement. These patients we generally approach with combined modality therapies, chemotherapy with radiotherapy, and possibly by surgery. The third general group would be patients with metastatic disease. And these patients, we offer palliative chemotherapy for both lengthening of survival as well as symptom control.
Well, I want to follow up on that, and in particular for people that, you know, sometimes people are afraid to go to the doctor because they're afraid of, you know, that they're going to get bad news. But I wanted to ask you, for patients and people that come in with early stage lung cancer, there's a myth that there'll always be a poor outcome. I mean, is that true?
That is not true. In fact, the majority of early stage lung cancers are cured.
Well, and thank you. I mean, that's and so it's a reminder to, if you have symptoms, to go to the doctor.
Right. So Lynn, when do we typically consider radiation therapy? You know, Scott had mentioned combining chemotherapy with radiation therapy. Is there any role for giving radiation therapy as a single modality of treatment?
Well, the answer is yes, and in the circumstances that we use radiation are really as follows. And one thing I'll add to Scott's comments are we've really been discussing non-small cell lung cancer thus far, but there's the other type called small cell, and surgery generally does not play a role in that histologic subtype or that type of lung cancer, and we often use a combination of radiation and chemotherapy for those patients when their disease is confined to the chest. So that's one circumstance. And we combine the radiation with the chemotherapy for small cell lung cancer patients. For non-small cell lung cancer, which is certainly the majority of lung cancers, radiation might be given in a situation for someone with very early stage disease as the definitive treatment if that patient was not a candidate for an operation. Perhaps they had other medical problems which prevented them from being put to sleep for the surgery, for example. Most of the usage of radiotherapy in non-small cell lung cancer, though, is done in combination with chemotherapy for patients with the more locally advanced variety, such as Scott mentioned, with lymph node involvement in the chest.
Is there any role for giving radiation therapy with early stage lung cancer for which surgical resection has been performed?
Well, for patients who have had a surgical resection, who have positive margins, for example, which from time to time can happen if the surgeon has a very difficult time removing the tumor, typically we do add in radiation after the surgery in that circumstance to try to eliminate any microscopic disease which is left behind. But typically if the surgeon does a complete operation, and even if the first echelon of lymph nodes are involved, it is not our recommendation to offer radiation therapy after surgery.
You know, as you suggest, you know, lung cancer is a bit more complicated, right? And it's not quite so generic. And as you've mentioned, there's small cell and non-small cell lung cancer. And again, maybe for the listening audience, could you perhaps elaborate a bit more on which one is more common and which one, you know, is more aggressive?
Well, non-small cell lung cancer is certainly more common and probably represents 87% to 90% of all cancers that are diagnosed. Certainly non-small cell lung cancer comes in various varieties of cell types, and it can be aggressive, and small cell can also be aggressive. So actually both types can be aggressive. Scott, do you have any comments about that?
Just one thing about what you said, Ken. Even people have this idea that small cell lung cancer is fatal, and it's the worst cancer, it's aggressive, and you generally will die. This is not necessarily true. In fact, with combined modality chemoradiotherapy, we can cure up to 15, maybe even more percent of the patients. So there is hope for both small cell and non-small cell lung cancer.
Now, one of the things that I've I've been hearing you talk about is how there's different modalities of treatment. There's surgery, there's radiation, there's chemotherapy. And I know that you're both members of the Yale Thoracic Oncology Program. What is the, I think it's actually called the TOP program, the Yale Thoracic Oncology. But what is that? What would a patient expect when they came for an appointment? How does that team work?
Well, when a patient comes to Yale, he's initially seen by generally either a medical oncologist, a pulmonologist, or a surgeon. And then after seen by that physician, the patient's case is discussed in a tumor board where there are many oncologists, medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, pulmonologists, surgeons, pathologists, radiologists, and we all review the films, we go over the pathology, and we make a consensus decision as to how we would treat this patient. The patient is also generally seen by a social worker who works with all the different physicians and is aware of all the different types of treatment and side effects that might happen. It's a very good way to approach a patient, and it offers them the best treatment options.
All right, so we have another email that I want to share with you, and this is George, who lives in Portland. He says, I'm curious as to why a patient with stage one lung cancer who has had the cancer removed during surgery might also need to receive chemotherapy treatments. Can you explain?
I certainly can. In the past, these patients, we would not offer them chemotherapy, but a patient who has a type of stage one lung cancer, there was a large study that was conducted in the United States, which showed an overall survival advantage with chemotherapy after a complete resection. And this translated into a four-year survival difference of 12%, meaning that at 4 years, 59% of the patients who did not receive chemotherapy were alive versus 71% of patients who were alive with additional chemotherapy. So we generally recommend it. And furthermore, the chemotherapy that we do use is quite well tolerated with minimal toxicities.
Well, we're going to like to, again, remind you to please email your questions to us at healthline@yale.edu, or you can call us at 1-888-234-4YCC. We're going to take a short break to listen to a survivor story. And please stay tuned to learn more information about the latest treatments available for people with lung cancer with Dr. Lynn Wilson and Dr. Scott Gettinger from the Yale Cancer Center.
A few years ago, the diagnosis of cancer was a death sentence for many patients. But today, thanks to advances in clinical research, we're turning the corner in the battle against cancer. There are over 10 million cancer survivors now living in the U.S. They are the true heroes in the war against cancer. Here's a story of a hero from Hamden.
10 years ago, when I was diagnosed with aplastic anemia, there was no cure. After teaching math for 35 years, I was forced to retire. Dr. Tom Duffy at the Yale Cancer Center told me about a new procedure called a mini stem cell transplant. He encouraged me to put my life in the hands of Dr. Stuart Seropian, one of the few doctors in the country doing this procedure. On January 17, 2004, I had a stem cell transplant at the Yale Cancer Center. At age 70, I feel like a new man. I owe a great debt of gratitude to my anonymous stem cell donor and to the terrific staff at the Yale Cancer Center. They literally saved my life.
This survivor's story has been brought to you by Yale Cancer Center.
Welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm in the WTIC studios with my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and our guests, Dr. Lynn Wilson and Dr. Scott Gettinger, two experts in the treatment of lung cancer at the Yale Cancer Center.
Scott, there's been a great deal of focus placed on the use of biologic target therapies in treatment of lung cancer. And perhaps you could explain to the listening audience what's going on in that very important area of research.
Well, as we learn more about the biology of cancer, we're beginning to design therapies that target cancer cells specifically rather than just generally. People are often frightened by chemotherapy because of the side effects that are often accompanying. So we have some new targeted therapies that are often used in non-small cell lung cancer, particularly in the metastatic setting. The first of these is a drug called erlotinib, or Tarceva, which is an oral medication which targets a specific pathway in cancer cells and has been shown to improve survival compared to best supportive care in patients who have received prior chemotherapy. It is generally well tolerated, with the main side effect being a rash, and some patients have had dramatic responses that have lasted years and years. The other agent that we are presently using for non-small cell lung cancer is a drug called bevacizumab, or Avastin. This is a drug that basically blocks the blood supply to tumor cells, starving them and causing regression of their disease, or at least quieting their progression. Studies have already shown that the addition of bevacizumab to standard chemotherapy has improved survival. In fact, survival now, median survival, has reached over 1 year for patients receiving this combination in a certain subtype of lung cancer, adenocarcinoma. There are many more targeted agents that are in the pipeline that are coming into clinical trials, and we're very excited about the future.
Perhaps you could explain to us what are some of the innovative clinical trials that you're trying to develop here at the Yale Cancer Center.
Well, right now we have many trials open. For non-small cell lung cancer, we do have one novel therapy where we use a standard chemotherapy, something called docetaxel and cisplatin, and we add an inhaled chemotherapy, which allows us to deliver chemotherapy directly to the target without the systemic side effects that are associated with intravenous chemotherapy. In other words, we can give much higher doses without the side effects delivered just to the tumor cells. That is one study we have. We also have a study of a new chemotherapy for small cell lung cancer, and we will be opening shortly a third trial for non-small cell lung cancer with an agent, again, targeting one of the cell signaling pathways, the EGFR pathway, with an agent called panitumumab and another agent called rapamycin, which targets a different related pathway.
I believe the study that you're doing in small cell lung cancer is using a drug called cloretazine.
It is.
Which actually was discovered and developed here in the Yale laboratories by really one of our senior pharmacologists, Dr. Alan Sartorelli. And I think so what's nice about this study is it really highlights, I think, what really the unique aspects of the Yale Cancer Center, being able to go from the laboratory bench all the way to the clinic.
Right, and clearly our studies that we have now, we are accompanying them with translational research, which means that we're looking at the biology of the tumor cells before and after therapy in hopes of finding out who's going to respond to which therapies.
Scott, let me ask you, there's a perception, maybe a misperception that people have, that if you receive chemotherapy that you're going to be sick from it. And so I wanted to ask about this, two questions. One is, with the new therapies available, you've talked about targeted therapies, are the side effects less? And the other is, even with the older therapies, are you having more success in terms of preventing and treating side effects?
Well, so far we're seeing that the newer targeted therapies are generally better tolerated without many of the effects that people are worried about. The nausea, the hair loss, the drops in their blood counts. So definitely we're seeing a better side effect profile. In terms of the traditional chemotherapy, there are third generation chemotherapy agents that we're using which are better tolerated generally. And we also have more supportive medications to prevent things like nausea, to prevent things like anemia and other problems. So clearly I think chemotherapy is better tolerated than, you know, what your grandmother or grandfather might tell you from their past experiences.
Let's just pick up a little bit more on this concept of translational research, which I think really is the driving force behind what we're trying to do here at the Yale Cancer Center. And you're leading a clinical trial effort that I think really is extremely innovative. And it takes the basic concepts from immunobiology laboratories and brings them into the clinic. If you could perhaps explain a little bit more detail to our listening audience what that's all about.
Well, certainly, Ed, and it's a critical concept. The trial that I'm the principal investigator of is a combination of utilizing radiation therapy and a modality called transimmunization. And in fact, this technology modality was developed by Yale investigators. And it is a modality that was developed actually as a closely related treatment to a modality called photopheresis. And in fact, the basic concept is that these types of treatments are hopefully stimulatory towards one's own immune system to fight their own cancer cells. And in specifically the transimmunization study for lung cancer, it's a phase one study. It's not being done anywhere other than Yale. And it's primarily looking to evaluate the safety, but also efficacy to see if we are able to achieve success. And it's fairly straightforward. Patients are receiving radiation treatment. For a lesion in the bone, for example, or a lung cancer causing difficulty. And we're hoping to kill those cancer cells, release material from the cancer cells. The patient's blood is incubated overnight, and through a relatively complicated immunologic process, we're hoping to teach the patient's own cells to be then, when instilled back inside the body, fight against their cancer cells.
Yeah, that's really terrific, Lynn. And as I understand it, you received funding from the state of Connecticut to help with this clinical trial. So really, this study should be viewed as a resource for the entire state of Connecticut.
Well, absolutely, Ed, and it's critical. We received funding last year to fund this trial. It was a substantial amount of money, which we were able to be awarded with based on a competitive grant process, and we were very, very excited about that and continue to be.
And again, I think that really is one of the main mission statements for the Yale Cancer Center, is that we serve as a resource for not only the local community here in New Haven, but really for the entire community within the state of Connecticut and beyond.
Absolutely.
Lynn, another question for you in terms of the modality of the latest modalities in terms of radiation therapy. We talk about two-dimensional and three-dimensional, and we even heard mention of four-dimensional treatment for lung cancer. What does that mean?
Well, that's a good question, Ken. And the jargon is pretty tricky and sounds pretty high-tech. But to try to simplify it, maybe 20 years ago, radiation therapy was two-dimensional. We took an X-ray, saw a tumor, and set up a beam in front of the patient and a beam entering from the back of the patient. Three-dimensional is utilizing a CT scan, for example, and setting up radiation beams around that tumor that entered the patient from a variety of angles. And this was a big advantage and a big breakthrough because we were able to more safely give higher doses of radiotherapy. Four-dimensional radiotherapy is actually taking time and movement into account. Tumors move inside the lungs when patients breathe, and we take that into account in the fourth dimension of time. And this is a newer modality, something that we'll have available at Yale within the next year. And we'll actually be able to deliver radiation therapy by taking the movement of the tumor into account. And the beam will only be treating the cancer when the cancer is in a certain window of treatment. So we think that this will add to the safety of being able to use higher doses of radiotherapy.
Which actually sounds very, very exciting. And actually, many of the things you've talked about today, targeted therapies, shutting off blood supply, the immune therapy, and especially a lot of the high-tech modalities that are available, it sounds like they're changing the prognosis. Is that true? Is that how you see it?
Clearly. I think there's a lot to look forward to in the next few years in terms of treating lung cancer with improvements in overall treatment, improvements in quality of life. And clearly there is a lot going on.
Well, if you have questions for Dr. Lynn Wilson or Dr. Scott Gettinger or for Healthline, we encourage you to go to our website, which is yalecancercenter.org, for more information about cancer and about the resources that are available to you. Before we sign off, Lynn and Scott, in your opinion, what are the key points that you would like to share with our listening audience about the treatment of lung cancer?
Well, first, there are definitely new treatments coming down the line, and we certainly have novel therapies right now, which patients are benefiting from. We're learning more about cancer cells, and by doing so, we are going to be able to design even better therapies. And I think patients should have hope, and that there are many things that can be done now that couldn't have been done 20 years ago.
And the key message, I think, with regard to radiation therapy, just to pick one example, is that we're learning more about how to deliver higher doses of radiation in safer ways so that we can minimize the toxicity of treatment for patients, so that we can more safely combine radiation with these other targeted therapies.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Lynn Wilson, Dr. Scott Gettinger from the Yale Cancer Center for joining us on Healthline.
And remember, tune in to WTIC News Talk 1080 every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for Healthline with the Yale Cancer Center. Our next program will focus on the treatment of breast cancer with our special guest, Dr. Lindsay Harris, Director of the Breast Cancer Disease Unit at the Yale Cancer Center. Until then, this is Dr. Ed Chu.
And Dr. Ken Miller.
From the Yale Cancer Center, wishing you a safe and healthy week.
You've been listening to Healthline, a joint venture of Yale Cancer Center and WTIC News Talk 1080. Join us next Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m. for another edition of Healthline on WTIC News Talk 1080.